So do you think ChatGPT is actually going to, like, fix everything, like everyone says?
Hi, Chat.
Because I don't think I don't think it's going to, right? I'm recently doing a lot of, like, interviewing for people. And as a part of that, we've got, like, the standard SE take-home exam thing, right? People decide that they can just feed the question I ask them into ChatGPT pretty frequently. And what's sad about it is it's not giving them an advantage, because 9 times out of 10, it's either wrong or full of errors.
Yeah, you gotta, like, I've used ChatGPT. Actually, I've been using it recently to help me kind of write some stuff. And it was nice. Like, I had some, I want these 10 general points written out.
Yeah.
And it wrote it out.
Yeah, no, it look, it's a great, it's a tool to be used, right?
But you gotta proofread that shit.
I don't mind if people use it for, like, some of these questions. Because some of the questions, if you don't know, like, you could go and ask it just like you would Google something, right?
Right.
But you're not gonna, like, for your answer, copy and paste Google results and submit them. In the same way, you shouldn't copy and paste ChatGPT and be like, well, that's clearly right.
That's clearly right.
Oh, so ChatGPT is not going to take over, but it is such a useful tool. But the number of times I see the over reliance on it without proofreading, without thinking, like,
without the appropriate context, folks.
Yes, because it's just, folks, it's pattern matching. If you want to know, ask it a math problem, it will get it wrong.
Yeah,
it's interesting. It can't do math because it's not actually thinking. It's just looking for patterns.
And it's looking for keywords. Like, if you say something like, what are the 10 advantages of having an email engine for your company? It's going to hit every single email company's website and read it in like 2 seconds. And then it's going to index it and spit you out back 10 answers.
It's going to synthesize something that might not make sense. It might sound like it makes sense, but when you read it, you realize it's gibberish. But then you also realize, oh, there is a company that actually wrote that gibberish on their own website and pawned it off as marketing. So maybe it is just...
Yeah, that's my envisionment of it. I am no AI coder expert guy person, you know.
But you did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night, so I think I can do anything.
So, welcome to Demo Jockeys. We may seem like podcast hosts, but we've just stayed at Holiday Inn Express. We can do anything now. Surgery? Sure, why not? Let's start with a podcast, though. I'm Jack Cochran. With me, my fellow co-host, Adam DiTommaso. Say hello, Adam.
As always, hello, everyone.
Hello, hello, hello. Adam and I just finished talking our first time about Stolen Focus.
And it's kind of blurry. No.
It's kind of blurry. The focus is a little blurry on purpose on here. If you don't tend to listen to the full episode, you're going to want to listen to the full episode this time. Because guess what? Not a book we both loved.
No, not one that we were happy to do.
But I will say there are definitely good things that we took out of the book.
Yep.
Definitely good points. Definitely some ways that I've made some changes to some things. But you may want to listen. I'd say you should listen to that.
I think you'll enjoy it.
Cool. Let's hop into the interview or the conversation, whatever it is. Let's hop right in. Adam, if you had to rate from, say, 1 to 11, because we love Spinal Tap, how distracted do you tend to get on a daily basis? Where's your focus versus distraction level?
This is an interesting topic for me. I think I'm unique. After reading this book and after thinking about how the way people work and things I do already that are good for me, that I've realized that I've done already that are actually good for me mentally, I would say that when I need to focus nowadays, I can just turn it on and blindfold myself and blinder myself and focus. Nice. So pretty good.
Pretty good.
When I want to get distracted, it's because part of focus is recognition, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And when I want to get distracted, it's because I want to and I don't want to do the task at hand.
That's fair. That's like, so it's purposeful distraction as opposed to...
Purposeful distraction.
Other things distracting you and keeping you distracted on a regular basis.
Yes. I've developed some methodologies in my own life that this book's kind of even subconsciously I've developed them. This book's exposed me to them. I will say that. That's why I say I kind of like it. But I also say at the same time, this book didn't fit me well because I've already figured some things out.
Yeah. And I kind of want to dive right into that. Maybe we start there. Okay. If you're picking up this book, it's called Stolen Focus, Why You Can't Pay Attention and How to Think Deeply Again. So any rational person, including Adam and myself, pick up this book because we're like, I could use some more focus. I'd love to get some real practical ways to kind of get some of that focus back.
Yeah.
You get about halfway through the book and you realize you've been clickbaited because he's not interested in teaching you that at all. In fact, the methods he begins the book by talking about, of which I think are actually pretty good recommendations on some ways to be more aware of what causes distraction, is more of, that's not enough. That's not what you got to do. You got to fix the system. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, here we go.
This is not what I signed up for in this book.
No, it's not. I thought this was more... I was honestly wanting a book to tell me how to almost not use the word meditate, but how to align my focus to the task at hand.
Yeah.
So I don't get purposeful, joyful distractions. And that's not even a term from the book. That's something that I'm saying.
No, I hear you. And for those of you who didn't read the book, it's okay if you didn't, but let me kind of give you where this book kind of went. So it first did start off with some things the author had done when he was trying to deal with distractions he'd seen in his life. And including like a personal retreat, like a tech going through personally getting rid of all technology for like 3 months, something like that, a long time.
Three months in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and honestly, yeah. Great place, beautiful sure. place.
Beautiful place, I'm sure, to do that. Like, I'm like, man, classic. I wish I could do that. I would love to do a technology detox, right? But then he gets into that's actually not doing a lot of good. That the long-term good has become all these companies that are intentionally making it so that you're distracted. It's how they make their money and everything. And I feel like, Adam, because you had the same reaction. We were kind of talking about this book as we were going through it. You and I both are in the marketing world.
We are.
We've been there for a while. So the stuff that he's talking about, how Facebook is intentionally built in order to keep your attention on their site as much as possible, and that's how they make money. I'm like, yeah.
No shit. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly how these companies have actually always made their money.
Yeah.
Newspapers. The reason why they run ads and build the paper the way they build it is so that you want to spend more time reading the paper, because that's going to lead you to... Now, it's a little bit different because the more you read the paper, the more people who continue to subscribe to the paper, therefore, the more ads they can sell.
Right.
So a little bit different, but still the same concept. Everything they did at that newspaper, everything, every article, the way it was laid out was to get you to keep coming back, to get you to read as much of it as possible.
Yep.
Period. Had nothing to do with actually informing you in the best way possible of the actual news events. Papers have not done that for a very long time.
Right. Headlines are headlines for a reason. Because, oh, look at that headline. I'm going to buy that newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same concept on websites. I mean, if you want to go back in time in the Wayback History Machine, which I love to go visit sometimes, websites first got their start by looking at newspapers saying, boy, how do we set up this website? Like a newspaper, like a magazine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, if you didn't know, if you weren't aware, I think it's a good thing for the book to make you aware, as someone who's trying to figure out why they feel so sucked in all the time, that Facebook doesn't just show you the most recent updates. It's intentionally figuring out who you are so that it can better serve you the things they're going to keep you emotionally charged, because that's what keeps you there, which will then lead to you staying in the app as much as possible, which is how they make their money.
Yep.
That's not just Facebook. That's every single Twitter, site. Not just social media. That's every single site out there, period. I mean, that's even newspaper sites. The more you stay on the site, the better it is for that site, that brand.
Yes.
End story. And so I think a lot of people aren't aware of that, but that is the honest to goodness truth. I feel like there was an opportunity he had to say, now that you know this, become aware of it and stop letting that control you. That's not where he went, though. And that's the part that kind of irritated me, that he felt the need to make this like call to action, like, you know, the civil rights movements and women's rights and everything. And I'm
I didn't like that at all.
Look, we're talking about very different things, and I get that.
Yeah,
it's important. Things should change, but they likely won't. So we are in that same things should change, but likely won't. But let's be careful the parallels that we're trying to draw here.
You know, and I'm not trying to discredit the author. I think, but if you're not in MarTech and you don't know that stuff, I mean, yes, there's some value in getting at it, but I almost feels like he's fanning the flames of conspiracy. And the reason why I say it like that is because it's like, blame this, blame Facebook, blame Instagram. I kind of felt a little bit like that when I was reading it, if you get where I'm coming from.
A little bit.
And you know what?
A little bit in the way that,
yeah,
what he's saying isn't incorrect, though.
No, it's
right?
It's fully correct.
It's fully correct, but it wasn't. I think the reason why is we felt very hoodwinked because that wasn't the book we were wanting to read.
Right.
If instead the book was the systemic problems that lead to lack of focus, I would have known exactly what the book was going after and would have been very well prepared for this delve into these worlds, as opposed to a book that How to Think Deeply Again is in the subtitle, and that's not in this book at all.
This whole book, I mean, Stolen Time as far as I'm concerned, but no, I shouldn't say that. I mean, because I did pull some nuggets out of it, and it was validating for me. It was validating the fact that I actually think I do know how to focus. Case in point, I can sit in my office, and now that I have my standing desk, I'll be standing in my office. And I got to write a 2-page article based on my syllabus. I got to write 2 pages on the history of this MarTech thing. I want to do 2 pages because I know it's a business audience. Boom. 3 hours later, I'm done. I didn't break once. I didn't stop once. I hear my thought. Going to put my thought on paper. Going to reread my thought. Going to see if I can make a better thought. And it took me 3 hours. And I checked the box.
Done.
That's focus, folks. That's what we folk call focus.
I wanted to get the things that irritated me out of the way because, honestly, I think there are some good points in this book, which fortunately are front-loaded, right? The first six or seven chapters, when he's talking about the things that he did to sort of digitally detox and the things he learned during that.
Yeah, I like that.
There were some things, honestly, that I as I'm reading, I'm like, wow, I have set myself up in a way that I'm allowing myself to be more controlled by these things.
Yep.
And unfortunately, and I get his point, like, it shouldn't be like, well, the problem is you, the consumer, who don't have the self-control. No, these things are set up in a way to make it very difficult for you to resist.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean there aren't things I can't do, like change the notification settings on my phone. I don't need everything sending me notifications all the time. There are sites that I find myself going to, like Instagram, LinkedIn, sites like that are just my Google News. It's just an infinite scroller.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't need to be doing that on my phone. So let's get rid of them. And it's helped in the past few weeks. It's helped with my focus considerably because I haven't had the instant thing to distract me. I've allowed myself just to have moments of contemplation where I'm not bringing in more data. I'm allowing my brain to think and recharge. Ooh. Which has been fantastic.
I want to talk about that. And there's ways that people do that. And I actually, in the book, it's funny, and this is actually something that near to my heart, driving. When I want to go and clear my head, when I'm driving my truck, and to give you a whole ride right around, imagine going from Richmond, Rhode Island to Rockwood, Maine. For those of you that don't know, which is 99.9% of you, that's about a 400
like,
mile.
I've driven that constantly. What are you talking about? Every week.
All the time.
It's a well-traveled road, Adam. What are you talking about?
Oh, of course. Everyone's done it. No, that's about a 350 mile drive. I don't listen to the radio, music, nothing. I can get in my truck and I'll just, one, I'm paying attention to the road. Two, my phone, I use it like a navigation just for traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, there's no Facebook, there's no Pandora, there's no nothing, just a map. And a little green truck driving up the map. I'll just think, clear my head. It's fantastic.
Process.
Give
your brain that time. Give your brain that time, as he describes in the book, to not be receiving new information, but to process all that information, right?
Right.
To have that open, clear space. I realized how much I wasn't letting myself do that. I should change that. I should start creating more space to do that. There's a reason why you usually have your best ideas in the shower. It's the same idea, right? You can with waterproof phones. And I'm sure there are people now who stand in the shower and flip. But
I can't imagine. It scares me when I see people on the road doing it. I mean, because I'm on a motorcycle sometimes.
That's a whole different.
Yeah.
Come on now. Our brains aren't wired for this.
We're not really, because it's funny. I think about it. Think about back, like how we even used to listen to music as kids. It was effort. It was, you know, you wanted to listen to three different artists. You were changing that tape three different times.
Yes, you were. And you want a track on the tape. You had to fast forward. Now, that's the one thing where I say both records and CDs had it on you. You could easily pick your song. The tapes made it difficult to.
And even like focusing on a television show, I remember when DVDs came out, you know, cheaply for television shows and you could go out and buy a series. My buddy Tom and I went out and bought the first 10 DVDs for like $5,000 of Star Trek, the original series. Geez. It was so expensive. I'm not $5,000, but it was like seriously.
It's how it feels.
Yeah, it felt like $5,000 back then, but it was like in the hundreds. It was like $300-$400 of DVDs we bought, and we spent like 14 hours straight watching Star Trek. But we focused. We watched it. It was like that was the task at hand. Nothing else mattered.
That's not how people watch anymore. It's not how people watch.
No. You can binge watch while you clean the house, make dinner, and take your walk out. That's funny. Like, I'm sitting there thinking about what shows do I watch that are like that? Because I guarantee you there's a few. And just the opposite, like something like Dune and Dune 2.
I was about to call out Dune as the obvious exception to that, which I did finally watch. And oh my goodness, I'm so happy that I actually watch. I'm like, wow. Because total aside, I did not think they would actually make a movie that was true enough to the books to not piss people off. And I'm like, this is what I imagined when I was reading the books, what I imagined even better than what I thought it was going to look like. Like, they did such a good job. So anyway, total aside to that.
and by the way, that movie made me like Timothy Chalamet. Like, he was, I think, like, I believe him as a combat Paul Atreides leader. Like, I know everybody, he's so thin and wavy. No, he's a badass in this movie.
Which, that's how he was in the books. That's how he was supposed to be.
He was supposed to be thin and wavy.
He was supposed to be this. Exactly.
And turn into the badass that he is turning into, which is so cool.
Yeah. No.
That's why I like Christopher Nolan, too. Oppenheimer director.
Mm-hmm.
Love. I loved all of his Batman movies, but I loved what he did with Oppenheimer. I mean, that was a fantastic film. And that actor is just great.
I saw the Barbie movie instead. I'm sorry.
Oh, God. I wish, what's his face? Ryan Gosling would just say, I just wanted a paycheck. So I was in this stupid movie. Sorry.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the movie. I really did.
I did not. I didn't watch it. Barbie.
But you can't say you didn't watch it. So of course you didn't enjoy it because you haven't watched it yet.
No,
when you watch it, you will have enjoyed it.
That's fine.
You don't have to do it. Well, you know, it was a good movie. So there are things that I have done so far to make some significant small changes, actually, which are paying actually significant dividends. Like things that these are all things that I've known, but I never really viewed them as one cohesive thing, as what's distracting me with focus. I have noticed through just making those simple changes, the actual increase, which has been, I think, very beneficial. And I really wish that was the point of the book, right? I really wish that had been what this book was about, because they're good points. Now, what I've heard from others is that those points are also available in other books as well. So maybe this isn't the leading authority on this. And I appreciate the fact that he did talk so long about the other things, like about the Facebooks and stuff, because again, so many people don't understand that that's kind of what caused it in the first place.
Right.
Because what I at least appreciated from that was he wasn't making me feel bad that I hadn't already done it.
I'll give you that. And what I did like about it was I felt like I could connect to a lot of the stuff that he was talking about. Like, yeah, I understand why he did that. Yeah. Like, yeah. One comment was like, oh, I, you know, easy with me. I got a body built for reading and writing books. I know. Yeah. Like, I got a body built for watching TV and computer work. So I get it. Like, yeah, I'm with you, brother.
I got a body for Zoom meetings. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a Zoom meeting body. So, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and that, it was nice to relate to that because it's nice to hear that other people have that Zoom meeting body problem. Exactly. Minor changes can make a big difference.
Absolutely. That is it for Adam and My Conversation. Next week and the week after, we're talking with Lydia Vasileva, so make sure you're coming back, tuning in. Join the conversation. Hop into slack.demojockeys.com if you want to. And if you don't, just keep listening. I appreciate having you here. If you're watching us on YouTube, you can like the video. You can subscribe to the video if you want to make sure you see more. They're always out on Thursdays. But hey, as a reminder, right? If you need those notifications to pop up, maybe turn off the bell so that you don't have the notifications, just like we're talking about.
Yes.
Maybe don't. Oh, well, Adam prefixed for the demo zone. I wondered why he wasn't talking. It's because he was ready to talk about the demo zone. I'm not quite there yet, Adam.
I'm too fast with the button.
Way too fast on the foot switch. So if you're doing that, also, if you throw a comment on the video, that helps us out as well. So tell us something you like, something you didn't, and engage in that will really help us out a lot. But before we leave this episode, Adam, what do you got for us today in the demo zone?
In the demo zone. We love Echo. We really do. Soundboards are fun. This actually tip coming up was submitted by our friend and fellow demo jockey, Ron Whitson. So we're going to let him take it away.
Hi, demo jockeys. Ron Whitson here. And today's suggestion for the
demo zone
is all about screen hygiene and maintenance. Today, I'm going to be providing a demonstration of Calendly. But look at my screen. What a mess. Wow. Look at all those tabs. I must be really good at multitasking. If you've got a lot of tabs on your screen, it's only going to be a distraction for your audience. They're going to be looking at the tabs and not listening to what you're telling them. Bookmarks can be a problem as well. It's just another distraction you don't need on your screen. Hide your bookmarks on your Mac with Command-Shift-B and on your PC with Control-Shift-B. They're still there for you. Turn them back on when you need them. And no, you don't need this dock or a start menu. Set them to hide automatically. Finally, it's important to be thoughtful and intentional about the data elements on the screen. Really? Test meeting? A spelling error? These things detract from the authenticity of your demonstration. Anyway, that's all for today. Back to you, Jack and Adam.
And that was Ron with the Demo Zone. So yeah, Ron gave us his tip, and it was excellent, and we always like to see. And we encourage all of you to submit tips. Get on the show. I'll use my reverb and say your name. And it's just well worth it. And maybe someday, and Jack's probably going to shoot me for saying this, we're going to do t-shirts. And if you
I
get your...
do t-shirts. Yeah, I love merch.
And if we get enough of these, somebody's going to get a t-shirt. So yeah. Motivation.
Yeah, Adam's going to buy a t-shirt for you. I mean, that's... Yes. I'm fine with that. If Adam buys you a t-shirt.
I'll buy you a t-shirt.
All right. Well, thanks for that. Thank you, Ron, again for that. And then we'll see everybody next week where we're talking to Lydia. It's going to be a fun conversation. I'm actually excited to hear what Lydia has to say about this book. So I think it'll be fun.
Yes. Yeah. It'll be heated conversation and good times.
Heated agreement, as they say.
Absolutely.
All right. See everyone next week.
Have a good night, everybody.